My brothers and my sisters, I greet you all in the very mighty name of Jesus Christ. And it is my pleasure to stand here to share with you from the Word of God. Thank you for the invitation that you have extended to me to come along with the others and to share in this very, very special time in the Church of God in the Cayman Islands. As Brother Stanwyck Miles said earlier on, it is not my first trip, and from all indications, it won't be my last, from all indications. And I have had continuing association with the Church here and with so many of you, and if I were to begin to single out names, then perhaps I might get into a little difficulty. So I am going to take the safe ground to say that I have been with so many of you, and tonight I'm with all of you. That settles that. I didn't ask Brother Orrin Merrin, and I've deliberately reserved what I'm saying now until now. I did not ask him why I was given this topic to preach on. I didn't ask him. I don't know why. The theme for tonight is sanctified by faith. Because he knows, and those of us from the Church of God Reformation movement, and I dare say other church groups and communions, know that it is one of these problematic topics. The very thing that should serve as our strength has so often divided the church, the matter of sanctification. I am told, I wasn't there, but I am told that in the Church of God, in a certain congregation outside of this island, two pastors got arguing about sanctification. And it got so hot that they backed off their jackets, rolled up their sleeves, and decided to fight it out to prove who was more sanctified. That's what I was told. I don't think John W. Smith recorded that in his book, but I think I was told that. But even without that extreme, you and I know that we face so many arguments about sanctification and being sanctified and what this means. And it perhaps will continue to be an endless discussion. Mine is not the responsibility to aggravate the discussion. And tonight it is not my intention to make a point. It is not my intention either to settle any points. All I am simply going to do is to share as honestly from the Word of God with you. And if you would open your hearts honestly to the Word of God so that we can find something from the Word that is relevant to where we are today and that will serve us, not just today, but in the years and the days to come. And so I start by sharing that the passage from which we get the theme, your theme for the convention thus far by faith and onwards, the passage and especially the verse 17 of Romans will serve as the basis for this brief message tonight. And I read from the King James Version, while others of you look on the program from yesterday for another translation. And the King James Version says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith.
As it is written, the just shall live by faith.
The Greek word that is translated just in the King James Version carries a comprehensive meaning. That one word means several things. And that's why various versions and translations will deal with the same word using different words. Same Greek word using different English words. The one word means conforming to the standard, conforming to the will or character of God, upright, righteous, good, right, proper, in a right relationship with God, fair, honest, innocent. All of those terms translate the one word that in the King James Version is translated just, the just. And when I examine these terms, I find that these terms are all expressive of the doctrine with which we wrestle and about which I share tonight, the doctrine of sanctification. So in a real sense, I could almost have said that the sermon is finished, having given you all the words that can be used to translate the one Greek word, dikaios. But I want to share a little bit more with you as we understand that there is another word and there are some other words that are directly translated sanctification or variations of sanctified. And I won't go into those, but I will simply say that when you combine all the words and all the terminologies that are used in the scriptures, you can conclude, as we have concluded many times and most times, that sanctification, by strict definition, means being set apart for holy use, being set apart for holiness. The sanctified and those who have been made free from the guilt of sin through the cleansing from sin. The sanctified are those who have been made free from guilt through the cleansing from sin, and who have access into God's presence. I want to share with you tonight three things as I seek to flesh out our understanding of sanctified by faith. First of all, it is not whether or not you obey the rules, but that your life is Christ-centered as we seek to understand sanctification. It is not whether or not you obey the rules, but that your life is Christ-centered. I want us to note a few things about this Christ-centeredness. Firstly, it is Christ who sanctifies. And some of you might pause and say, oh, I didn't know that. Well, I didn't say it. It is Christ who sanctifies. And without splitting the Trinity, let us understand that it is the Holy Spirit's role to draw attention to Christ, never to himself. When you look at Hebrews chapter 10, and I'm going to read some of these verses tonight, for I would prefer to let the word speak for itself. Hebrews chapter 10 and reading from verse 10 in the King James Version. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, said the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. That's the word of the Lord. You don't need to have too much or any theological training to understand simple English language. And that's pretty straightforward. When you also combine that reading with Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 12, which says, wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. The scripture makes the point then that it is Christ who sanctifies. And when you read the Gospel of John, chapters 14 to 17, and I won't read those tonight, you will understand that Jesus himself made reference to the coming of the Holy Spirit, who would testify and speak of me, says Jesus. And we need to hear that amidst the confusion about sanctification as to who really sanctifies. I want you also to bear in mind that the text justified for you are the justified, the righteous will live by faith. The just will live by faith. That when you look at the context of this passage, Romans chapter 1, the main text, it comes as Paul talks about the work of Jesus Christ. And it comes immediately after Paul makes that emphatic declaration of his faith in Jesus Christ. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And then he runs directly into the statement that the just, a quotation from the Old Testament, the just shall live by faith. And so I'm making the point based on scripture that it is not whether or not you obey the rules, but that your life is Christ-centered. And sanctification starts with, continues with, and does not end, but continues through with Jesus Christ. And we need to bear that in mind because there is some confusion. And the second thing I want to say about the Christ-centered life as we explore sanctification is that it is to Christ that we are obedient. It is to Christ that we are obedient. So if you're talking about sanctification being set apart from and being set apart unto, you need to understand that we are set apart from sin and set apart unto Christ. And unto a life in Christ. And a life governed by Christ. And a life ruled by Christ. And it is to Christ to whom we offer our allegiance. And we need to get the priorities right. This is why
Jesus himself said in John chapter 14, reading from verse 16 to verse 26, but I won't read all of it, but Jesus himself, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. And then Jesus continues right down to verse 25, and here's the clarification that many of us need to hear, to understand. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, who is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. It is Christ to whom we are loyal. It is Christ to whom we are obedient. And sanctification cannot be talked about independently of the understanding of the finished work of Jesus Christ, his shed blood, and the finished work on Calvary. Sometimes we get caught up into the ecstatic and the ecstasy of the sanctification talk and the sanctification description. That sometimes we get it confused and we lose sight of Jesus. Sometimes we wonder who receives the glory. But I trust tonight that all of us will reaffirm our commitment to the King of Kings, to the Lord of Lords, to the one who is supremely, totally, thoroughly in control. I believe somebody can say amen to that. Not only do I ask you to note that it is not whether or not you obey the rules, but that your life is Christ-centered. But secondly, I ask you to note that it is not whether it is instantaneous or progressive, but that your sanctification is current. I think I can quit now while I'm ahead. The Lord lodged that in my spirit, that to me says it all. I think those of you who are here know that one of the arguments we have had in the holiness movement is whether sanctification occurs at a point in time and that's it, or sanctification continues. And those of us who are in the Church of God know that we literally argue about whether it is the first or the second, or some even go to the third work of grace. And some are struggling for a work of grace in the process, in the discussion. A lot of these arguments, and I don't want to underestimate nor overestimate any of these arguments, and I don't want to discount them, nor would I want to simplify the discussion. But I think I can simply say that the matter is more simple than we have made it. That it's not whether it is instantaneous or continuous as the priority. It's whether it is current. Amen. Amen. I guess after that second round of applause, I should really quit. No, but I think there's a little bit more I want to say. As we talk about, the matter of sanctification, that a true appreciation of sanctification teaches that the outworking of sanctification must always be in the now. And if you bear that in mind, it will not matter too much when it started, nor how it started, nor the signs that confirm the start, nor the crisis experience that may have come with the start. Does not matter too much about all of some of those details. What matters is
that you are living out the sanctified, set apart experience. When you read Titus chapter 2, verses 11 to 15, and most Church of God people can turn to that without turning to it. And I might have to do that because I can't even find it here, although I've marked it. It's there somewhere. Yes, I've found it. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 to 15. And we read that very famous and well-known Church of God passage. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Amen. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself back to Jesus Christ again, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, says the King James Version, zealous of good works. And I follow the instructions that come next. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. And let no man despise thee. I want to reemphasize tonight, as we look at those terms that are used, bearing in mind what I said at the opening about the various aspects of sanctification and all the aspects of the outworking, the writer to Titus, whom we accept to be Paul, summarizes all of it and makes the point that the sanctified life can be and must be lived out here and now. And it is possible, since we now have found out who sanctifies us. And it's not a matter of rules and do's and don'ts. It's not a matter of what we do. And I want us to hear that, because if we don't get the focus right, if the process is correct, the product is guaranteed. Let's understand then, if we work with the understanding of the Word of God, once we are submitted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, once we have surrendered to Him in His sovereign might and power, rest assured that He will enable you and He will cause you to live the abundant life, the overcoming life, so that things that used to control us, passions that used to override us, fleshly, carnal temptations that used to strangle us, in Christ, through Christ, and by Christ, we now have power to be overcomers. Amen. Amen. So I close, since you have clapped the fifth time. Not only do I ask you to note whether or not it is you obey the rules that you're, but make sure that your life is Christ-centered. Let us note that it is not whether or not it is instantaneous or progressive, but that your sanctification is current. But I ask you to note thirdly, it is not whether or not whether. It is not whether it is traditional or contemporary, but that it is what a famous writer calls contagious
Christianity.
Amen. It is not whether it is contemporary or traditional, but whether your Christianity is contagious. Sanctification affects every area of one's life and will affect our relationships. If you go back to the words that I talked about, we talked about just and fair relationships, and we identified honesty, and we talked about uprightness and being innocent. All of those words, and talked about being separated from unrighteousness unto holiness, unto the rightness which is available from God and through Christ. If we understand then that our sanctification is current, and if we follow Titus, it means then, my brothers and my sisters, that wherever you are, your sanctified experience ought to make the needed difference. So we don't need to get hung up on the vocabulary. We need to just express what the vocabulary is about. Live the sanctified life. Be holy even as He is holy. Be an overcomer even in this present world. Let a holy life tell the gospel story. Let them know that you are the child of God that you are. So that together we can continue to sing after 75 years, "Praise the Lord, my heart with His love is beaming. I am a child of God." And we go on to sing, "Let a holy life tell the gospel story. I am a child of God." That is what we should focus on and understand. And so your sanctified experience cannot be lived out in isolation. The sanctified experience, as we said yesterday and today on radio, the sanctified experience touches every area of society. And the church, as the called out people, must be the salt and the light of the earth. It is the church, and I make no apology for saying that. And after yesterday's encouragement, combined with the many that I hear in Jamaica from the political leaders who are looking to us, and I listen to our struggling prime minister, struggling with an economy that is battered and with a social state of crime and violence, highest number of murders over the last year. And I listen to all the leaders struggle. But they come to the church. And thank God He has raised me up for such a time as this. And raised up the Church of God in Jamaica to be a voice, to be reckoned with, to be heard, to be listened to, and to be heeded to. And so the Prime Minister looks at us and he says, "I don't have the answer." And I said, "We told you that long ago." And then he admits that he is depending on the church to lead the moral recovery and to lead even the economic recovery in Jamaica. And the sanctified sense of the church in Jamaica. Not in our own strength, but in the strength of the crucified Lord. Amen. And in the strength of the risen Lord. And empowered by the blessed Holy Spirit. We are accepting the challenge. And we know that like the church in Cayman, we shall overcome. For we are overcomers. Let the sanctified life touch lives where you are. Let the sanctified life tell the gospel story God bless you. Amen.
You.